Chapter 2. Megan. 1 year earlier. Wednesday, 16th of May, 2012. I'm out on the terrace with my morning coffee. I like sitting with the sun on my face and my eyes closed, listening to the trains as they roll along the track. One early morning train always stops at the red signal, right near our house. I can't see the faces of the passengers, but I know they're all heading into London to sit behind desks all day. But when I close my eyes, I could be back in Hokum, with seabirds flying above me and a ghost train passing on the old track on the other side of the field. I keep thinking about Hokum these days. I miss the beach, and I even miss that old cottage, although it was falling down. It's evening now, and I'm having a glass of wine in the garden, waiting for Scott to come home. This afternoon, I was in the kitchen with the double doors open. I was reading about the fashion course I'm planning to do, but then I heard a woman scream. Then she started shouting. There was panic in her voice. "What are you doing with her? Give her to me! Give her to me!" I ran upstairs and looked out of the window. There were two women in a garden a few houses away. One of them was crying, and a baby was crying too. The woman holding the baby turned and ran into the house, and the other woman tried to follow, but fell over. She got up again, and then just walked around in circles, and then it all went quiet. I have no idea what was going on, but it's the most excitement I've had in weeks. My days feel empty now the art gallery has closed, and I miss everyone from that world. I'm no good at just being a wife. Tuesday, 14th of August, 2012. What shall I wear? My wardrobe is full of clothes that are perfect for the manager of an art gallery, but there's nothing that a nanny would wear. I pull on jeans and a t-shirt. The Watsons, a couple four houses down the road, needed a nanny, and I needed work, so I offered. Part of me wanted to find out about them after I saw the mother shouting in the garden that day. Scott thought it was a good idea. He thinks spending time around babies will make me want one. It's doing the opposite. I don't like looking after the baby, and the mother, Anna, is boring. All she ever talks about is the child, and she's so anxious. Every time the phone rings or a train passes, she jumps. Today, she doesn't open the door. It's the husband, Tom Watson. He's heading off to work, and he looks very handsome in his suit. He gives me a big smile, and then he's gone. And then it's just me, Anna, and the baby. Thursday, 16th of August, 2012. I've given up the nanny job. I just couldn't do it anymore. So this afternoon, I lied and told them I'd got another job. I've got lots of plans. I'm free to do anything that I want to do. Thursday, 20th of September, 2012. It's 7 in the morning, and I've been awake for hours. I just can't sleep. Every night it's the same, and it's driving me crazy. I just want to run away. I want to travel. Me and my big brother Ben had so many exciting plans to travel the world, but none of them ever happened. He died under the wheels of a lorry on the motorway before he even saw another country. I miss him so much. He left a big hole in the middle of my life, and then there's everything that happened after he died too. I just don't seem able to move forward. So, I'm having my first appointment with a therapist today. It was Scott's idea. I'm not sure about it, and I'm nervous. But I have to do something. I can't live like this any longer. My therapist is called Dr. Kamal Abdik. He walks out of his room and reaches forward to shake my hand. He's tall and slim and in his mid-30s. He has amazing dark honey-coloured skin and is very good-looking. "Mrs. Hipwell," he says. I suddenly wonder how it would feel to have his hands on my body. He asks me why I've come. I tell him I can't sleep, and I often have panic attacks. He asks me whether I smoke, drink a lot, or take drugs. I tell him I don't, but that I do other things that perhaps I shouldn't. I smile and catch his eye, and I think he knows what I mean. Then I spend the rest of the hour talking about how I feel lost, but I don't tell him about Ben, or the other thing. I'm not ready to talk about all of that. When I tell Scott about it, he's disappointed that I didn't mention Ben. He thinks everything is about Ben. He may be right. Who knows? Tuesday, 25th of September, 2012. It's early evening now, so I go out for a walk. I turn right out of the house and walk down to the park. I turn right because I really don't want to meet the Watsons in the street. But I go the short way back, past the station and through an underpass that brings me up to our road. It's dark and smelly down there, so I walk quickly. Then I walk out into the sunshine and down Blenheim Road. And it's there that he passes me in his car. Our eyes meet just for a second, and he smiles at me. Tuesday, 2nd of October, 2012. I've had some better days, but I've also had a panic attack, and sleep is still difficult. I'm awake now, and it's really early. I got up in the middle of the night, left Scott sleeping, and went quietly outside to the terrace. I called his number and listened to his voice when he answered, and then I ended the call. Then I did the same thing again. I hadn't hidden my number, so I waited to see if he'd call me back, but he didn't. What was I thinking? It was a stupid thing to do, I know. Dr. Abdik, or Kamal, as I call him now, suggested this afternoon that I start keeping a diary. But I can't ever write down the things I think or do, of course, because I don't trust Scott. I know he looks at my computer and reads my emails when I'm not at home. That's okay, because there's nothing bad to read there, and he'll think there's nothing going on, and there's nothing to worry about. And that's good for him and me, even if it isn't true. And I can't really be angry that he looks, because I have given him reasons not to trust me in the past, and probably will again. I'm not a perfect wife. I can't be. Saturday, 13th of October, 2012. I slept better than I've done in years last night. Which is strange, because I thought I'd be too excited to sleep. I told myself I wouldn't do it again, not after last time. But then I thought, why not? Scott won't ever know. So, yesterday evening, I told Scott I was going to the cinema with my friend Tara. He doesn't like me going out without him, so he often calls. Tara said she'd let me know if he phoned her. I met him in a hotel room a few miles away. We have to be careful. We can't get caught. It would be really bad for him if anyone found out. And it would be terrible for me, too. Scott would go completely crazy with anger. Scott asked me lots of questions when I got back, but I think he believed what I told him. I'm quite good at lying.